I want to read a short psalm. Psalm 67. Verse 1. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. During the number of years that I have been to Charterhouse, I have spoken on a variety of things, consecutive subjects, traced various Bible characters. But during the few days I'm here, I'm going to change, and change is good sometimes. And I'm remembering the words of Paul, who said he'd rather speak 5 words with the understanding than 10,000 words in the tongue. So you'll follow, morning and evening, I shall have 5 words. And if we can get hold of these 5 words and think them over, well, they might be a blessing to us. Now, my 5 words tonight, I think would be appropriate as we gather together. We've come from different parts. We've had traveling mercies. And I think we ought to give thanks to God. And my 5 words tonight are, let the people praise thee. Praise should have a large part in the life of the believer. This is the great safeguard against murmuring. You know, when people are going to pray publicly, they usually say, let us pray, or let us all pray. But a good friend of ours now in heaven, that some would know here, the late Mr. Harold St. John, he always commenced when he was going to address God and say, let us praise. Well, that's a good thing, to praise. Why should we praise? Well, the psalmist said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praise to thy name. Again, I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with the voice of thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. Again, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Why should we praise? Because it's possible for us, poor sinners saved by grace, to bring pleasure to the heart of God. What a wonderful thing that we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, and we can give praise to God, and we can breathe pleasure to his heart, and we can glorify him. For what should we praise him? Well, I think most of all, remembering the words of Paul writing to the Corinthians, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. How much, indeed everything, we owe to God's great gift, the gift of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the material, the physical mercies of life, giving thanks always for all things. When should we bless the Lord? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Do you ever say this? God has been so good to me, I must praise him. Well, you know, we should praise him when we don't feel things are so good. I know of two men, their circumstances were anything but pleasant. Their backs were bleeding. Their feet were fast in the stocks. They had suffered severely. What did they do? Paul and Silas, they prayed and sang praises to God. Now we ought to be a praising people as we think of the mercies of the Lord, which are new every morning. We are loaded with benefits. Let us praise him with our whole hearts. There lived in Scotland a minister, very orthodox, but rather staid, rather starchy. But in his audience, he used to have a dear old soul who loved the Lord with fervent heart, and she was called Betty. You know, we are creatures of extremes. Some people are full of emotion. There's a certain place where I go which shall be nameless, but a man shouts amen all the time until I'm nearly put off. Other times I feel all that someone would say praise the Lord or amen. Well, Betty, she was full of the joy of the Lord. And anything from the scripture that touched her heart, she would say amen, praise the Lord. Well, the minister said he couldn't speak with Betty keeping on like this. So he said, I'll make a bargain with you. If you'll desist from making these ejaculations when I speak, I'll give you a new pair of woolen blankets. You know, Betty was very poor. She could have well done with the blankets, but she did her very best to keep quiet. But one day a new minister came along, and Betty's heart afresh was warm as she heard about the Savior and what he had done for her. And she rose from her seat and she called out, blankets or no blankets, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Let us praise him for all his benefits toward us. Let us pray. And praise. We would say, our God tonight, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We would say one to another, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. For the gift of thy Son, and for every blessing that we receive through him, thou hast given us all things richly to enjoy, for which we thank thee. We've come from various parts, and we're most grateful to thee for traveling mercies. And we pray that these days together may be days of spiritual blessing and a physical renewal. Bless this home. Remember those who care for our material needs. We commend them to thee and pray that they, with all under this roof, may have a quiet, restful night and know thy peace garrisoning hearts and minds. So we commit ourselves to thee and all our loved ones in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read from Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. We mentioned last night that we are thinking of 5 words on each occasion we meet together to read the scriptures. Of course, you were all so tired last night, many after traveling, you wouldn't remember the 5 words that we had last night. Let the people praise thee, taken from the Psalms. Now this morning I want us to think of 9 men who failed to do it and 1 man who did. And thus we get the 5 words, but where are the 9? In this little incident of the cleansing of the 10 lepers, we find 3 circles. First of all, there's the circle of need. All 10 were in it. And the whole human race is in this great, vast circle, the circle of need. For we all need cleansing and forgiveness. No doubt, these men, they came from different social positions. Some might have been wealthy, others poor. Different in character, in history, and in disposition. Some may have been more lightly afflicted than the rest. But one thing remained true. They were all lepers. No doubt they wouldn't have been together, but common distress had brought them. We're all in the circle of need. But 10 men were in another circle, the circle of blessing. And we know how they got out of the circle of need into the circle of blessing, by the obedience of faith. And that's how we all get from the circle of need into the circle of blessing. They took their true position. They stood afar off. And I believe at that time the legal limit for a leper was 100 paces from the main thoroughfare. They owned that they needed mercy. But then there's a third circle, the circle of praise and worship. A smaller circle, only 1 out of 10 in it. No doubt, all being cleansed, they were eager to get a clean bill of health from the priest and to return to the families from which they had been separated. Now, one man acts differently from the rest. Consider what he did. It says he turned back on the priests, back on the companions, and face toward the Lord. What else? He fell down at his feet, a sense of utter unworthiness. Further, he glorified God. He gave Jesus thanks. Consider who he was. He was a Samaritan, a stranger. He had a grateful heart. in a Samaritan body. Note, nine were occupied with the gift. One was occupied with the giver. Nine were occupied with the blessing. One with the benefactor. What did he receive? He received a word of assurance right from the Lord. This drew forth the question from the Lord, but where are the nine? They did not return to give glory to God. The story is told of a young woman who nearly lost her life by being knocked down by a runaway horse. But a man coming that way seized the reins of the horse and saved the young woman's life. The man who came to her rescue nearly lost his own life, but he was an invalid for the rest of his days. Couldn't return to his work, but he asked to have his chair placed near the window, and it was noted that continually he was looking out at the window until someone asked him, why did he look so eagerly out of the window? His reply was, I risked my life to save her, but she's never thanked me yet. Here was a man at the risk of his own life, rescued the young woman, but she never returned to give thanks. Never even wrote him a letter. Ingratitude is one of the most common and the basis of sins. But we have a Savior. He came from heaven. He went to the cross. He suffered agonies untold. And we thanked him. Is the response in the heart, all our hearts? Could he have to say, where are there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? May we seek this day to give glory to God, to give Jesus thanks, and to bring pleasure thus to his heart. Let us pray. Our God, we bring to thee our morning sacrifice of praise. We thank thee for the mercies of the night, for rest and sleep, and for thy care and protection over this home. We seek thy blessing upon us today. May we not be like the nine of whom we have read, who failed to return and give glory to thee, but with a sense of unworthiness, with deep gratitude, may we be like the Samaritan leper, who gave praise to thee and praise to the Lord Jesus. Help our friends who care for our needs in this home today, and help us each one to glorify thee in our bodies which are thine. And if we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My five words are found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. These five words gripped me recently. Our sufficiency is of God. And whether to live, to work, to follow, as we've been singing, our sufficiency is of God. Paul was a great man, an intelligent man. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, but he, with all his learning, had to say, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. He could say, when I am weak, then am I strong. He could say, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, we are differently constituted. Some are cocksure they could do anything and everything. Others, perhaps, are what we call backward in coming forward. I don't know, I think they call it, is it superiority complex? An inferiority complex. But whatever is before us, whatever our job, our sufficiency is of God. And whether living or serving or whatever we do, we are not sufficient of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God. My mind has gone to three men especially, there are others, but three men especially, who felt themselves insufficient for their task. But they had to learn this. Their sufficiency was of God. Moses was chosen by God to be a leader of his people. His people Israel. And he made one excuse after another. He says, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? But God had an answer for him every time. It was perfectly true that he wasn't sufficient of himself. But God said, certainly I will be with thee. Then he says, what shall I say? God has an answer. I am have sent me unto you. I was, I am, I shall always continue to be. He had God behind him. Then he says, they will not believe me or hearken unto my words. But God had an answer. What is thine, that in thine hand? A rod. And with the power of God, he used that rod. As we know. Then he says, I'm not eloquent. I am slow of speech. God answers him, I will be with thy mouth and with his, Aaron's mouth. And Moses had to learn not only that his sufficiency was of God, but God was all sufficient. Take another man, Gideon. God said to him, go in this thy might. Have not I sent thee? But Gideon began to look at himself. He says, my family is poor. I am the least in my father's house. But God said, go. And God's commands are his enablings. And Gideon had to learn that his sufficiency was of God. And God said to him, surely I will be with thee. One more. I'll tell you what happened tonight. I had 8 points in my little talk at Coleman Avenue. And I assured them I wasn't going to lose my reputation, but I would finish promptly to time. No sooner had I finished at 7 o'clock, the meeting began at 6, before a boy, how old would he be?
89.
About 8. He says, you are dead on time tonight. Well, I'll be dead on time. One more. Amos. God told him to go. He was a man of humble origin. He acknowledged, I'm no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. He had humble employment. He was a herdman, a gatherer of sycamore fruit. But the Lord said to me, go. And Amos too learned, our sufficiency is of God. God calls people from different spheres, not merely to preach. We're all called to live. That's one of the purposes of the death of Christ, that we should live. And I sometimes folk think that preaching's everything, but it's a very small thing. We've got to live. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us how to live. The Countess of Huntingdon, thank God for the letter M. It didn't say not any mighty, any noble, but not many. Yes? God could take a C.T. Studd, a brilliant man, but he yielded his life to Christ. We know how he went out to China and prepare the way for the gospel to that land, which unfortunately is now shut off from missionaries. He could take a servant girl like Gladys Aylward and send her abroad where no one thought she was fit to go. All have to learn our sufficiency is of God. A preacher of long ago, coming to Philippians 4, verse 13, came to these words. The first 5 words. I can do all things. Closing his Bible, he says, stop, Paul, that's going too far. Then, having obtained the attention of his audience, he says, perhaps there's an explanation. Ah, here it is. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Whatever our task, be it ever so humble and humdrum, in the kitchen, in the business, in public service, our sufficiency is of God. May we all prove this in our own spheres, in our own calling, to God's glory. Let us pray. O God, thou art enough, the mind and heart to fill. And in all our varied circumstances, different walks of life, we need thee. We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. And we acknowledge afresh tonight that we are not sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. We thank thee for this day, for fellowship together in this home and in other parts, and we pray thee to bless the preaching of the gospel to young, to old, indoors, out of doors. We commend one another to thy care. We thank thee for those who care for us so well. We commend them to thee, that they with us may have a restful night, be refreshed in the morning. We thank thee for all thy care, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, or a heart of compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. You might question, what about these five words that we are looking at each time we come? Have you just looked for five words all over the Bible where you could pick them? No. During the last few months, with Charterhouse in view, whenever I came across five words that seemed to strike me, I just wrote them down. And I've just got a list of these, and so I'm just taking them as they come. Away in my den at home in Exeter, there's been a text hanging there, I suppose, for years. I've read it. Probably I haven't applied it right. The five words are found in chapter 3, verse 24. Ye serve the Lord Christ. And I suppose I've looked at that, well, perhaps I'm going to speak to some children or I'm going to address a meeting. I'm serving the Lord Christ. But I looked it up afresh the other day, and I thought, I've been taking this out of its context altogether. It's not a question of taking meetings or addressing the public. It's in the very ordinary, commonplace things of life, in the very relationships of life. Because in the setting here, wives, husbands, fathers, children, masters, servants, So in whatever sphere we occupy, whatever job we do, whatever our relationship, this should ever be before us: ye serve the Lord Christ. A friend of mine in America had been at a conference quite a distance away from his home. And when he got back to his friends, they asked the question, how many servants of the Lord were there? Oh, said my friend, 250. They raised their eyebrows. 250 preachers there? Ah, no. My friend meant this, that they were all servants of the Lord. What a dignity is conferred upon us, that we serve the Lord Christ in the kitchen, in the office, wherever we are serving the Lord Christ. What an example we have of the perfect servant. Some folk, you know, don't like to feel that they're servants. It seems to be below their dignity. But the Master, he was a servant. He was the one who was in the form of God, but took the form of a servant. He could say, I am among you as he that serveth. He said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Someone has written, wouldst thou be chief, then lowly serve. Wouldst thou go up, go down. But go as low as e'er you will, the Master has been lower still. And to me it's amazing that the one who served us and took the lowest place, one day he's going to gird himself and is going to come forth and serve his own. No service in itself is small, none great, though earth it fill. But that is small that seeks its own, and great that seeks God's will. So we know whom we serve. We serve the Lord Christ. Maybe in things very mundane, very ordinary. But if you've got a job to do and it's unpleasant, I believe you'll be able to do what the psalmist said: serve the Lord with gladness. I don't like this job. It's an unpleasant job. But I serve the Lord Christ. Someone said that service of this kind makes drudgery divine. So this gets a grip of us. Whatever we do it heartily as to the Lord. We serve the Lord Christ. Serve the Lord with gladness. And if we're realizing we are serving him, it'll give us an impetus to seek to serve him well. One day there will be a reward for service done to him. A friend of mine, some time ago, addressing an audience, said, well, you know, you'd like to have been here when the Lord was here and to have served him, but you can't serve the Lord now. My mind went immediately to Matthew's gospel. I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came to me. Lord, when? Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And there were others who failed to do it. Inasmuch as ye have not done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have not done it unto me. Ye serve the Lord Christ. One day, those who have sought to serve him faithfully, behind the scenes, not in the public eye, but fervently, in a quiet way, they'll get the reward of their service. Wouldn't we all covet this? To hear from the perfect servant the words of commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Serving him in whatever way we do, it will receive its commendation. And in serving others, we serve the Lord Christ. So, may we be encouraged this day, every day, to recognize the dignity of our calling. We serve the Lord Christ. Let us pray. We thank thee, our God, for the dignity thou hast conferred upon us to be thy servants. Help us ever to keep in view the fact that we serve the Lord Christ. Remember our friends who serve us in this home. Let thy blessing rest upon them and upon us all today. Preserve our going out and our coming in. For the mercies of the night and for new mercies today, we give thee grateful thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.